produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome to the Mommy Meltdown. My name is Dorothy Gates, and I am your humbled host this morning, and I just want to say welcome to the motherhood group. Here on the Mommy Meltdown, we are a group of moms who just come together to find a little bit of encouragement, a little inspiration, a little motivation and help along the way, because why? Well, motherhood is hard, and we need each other, and we need the Lord to help us get through this discouraging journey sometimes of motherhood, when we think we're not doing it right, when we think we're just messing up all the time, when we think we failed our children, we're failing God. Sometimes we just need a little pick-me-up to say, you know what, we are the mom God called to be the parent of our child. We are capable of raising our children, even in a dark world. And sometimes we just need to be reminded, because it's easy to get down. It's easy to get distraught. It's so easy to just get distracted in the world that we live in. And that's not by accident. Those are very chosen weapons, very specific weapons that the devil specifically chooses on us as moms, because he knows if he can get us distracted and discouraged and defeated, then we'll give up. But as a mom, we can't give up. It's so important that we just keep trying every day to do the best that we can for the honor and glory of God, just to raise our children for the Lord, to raise our children to have a heart for God, not to raise perfect kids. That's something in that I'm not even going there. I'm talking about just to raise children who love God and who have a heart for Him. Because if we can teach our children to love God, then everything else is going to work out just fine, right? So today I wanted to share, I've been in the book Sparkle and Shine, and today I wanted to share the chapter called A Renewed Right Spirit. Several years ago, my husband and I moved to Kansas City, and while we were living in Kansas City, I just found myself at a very lonely, discouraged time in our marriage and in my motherhood journey. We moved to this city. We didn't know one person. We didn't have any family around. We visited many churches, but just never connected to anyone, never connected to the churches. And so it was just a very lonely time during that year that we spent in Kansas City. And I didn't really, I guess, recognize all of the clues at the time that I was probably slipping into a little bit of a depression. But I look back now and I know that that's exactly what was happening. I was going through just a very dark place where I just had lost my joy. I noticed a few things in my heart and in my life and in my actions. Goodness, I was snappy. I was moody. I was not at peace with anything in my life. And during that time, I had just released the book, Pink, People in Need of Kindness, and was beginning this book, Sparkle and Shine. And I actually had to pause and take a break from all writing, all blogging, and all my work on social media, and step away from this book because I knew I was not in the right mind frame. Not my heart just wasn't right. Now, what's interesting is during this time, I never took a break from God. I was still reading my Bible. I was still praying. I was still doing the things that as a Christian I was supposed to do, but just something was missing and I didn't know what it was. Couldn't put my finger on it. I just knew I was in kind of this darkness. I was in this funk and I wanted out desperately. I just didn't know how to get out. And so I felt like I had no words to say. I felt like I had no encouragement to give. I had no joy. And so I thought, well, if I'm not feeling these things, I'm not going to fake them. And I'm not going to write. I'm not going to pretend like I'm at a good place when I'm not. And so I just took a step back and I thought, you know, I'm empty right now. I'm like a water fountain that's all dried up. There's no water in a water fountain. You know, and kids run to this water fountain when they're thirsty and at a playground and there's nothing there and there's nothing more disappointing. And I felt like that. I felt like, you know, I was just this water fountain that was dried up and I had nothing to give. And so I thought, I need to take a break. I need to get my heart connected and aligned with the Lord's, and I need a recharge. I need a refocus and a renewal in my spirit. And when I began to think about those words right there, I need a renewal and I need a right spirit. I really began, those words just really began to play over and over and over in my mind. And one day I sat down and began to pen these words to a poem called A Heart Transplant. And now, I am not a poet by any means. God did not give me the talent to be a poet. But these words began to just pour out on a piece of paper. And this was exactly where I was, what my heart was feeling at this moment. And so I want to share it with you. But again, I'm no poet, so please forgive my feeble attempt. But this is called A Heart Transplant. When I took a good look at me, I saw things I didn't want to see. I noticed I was becoming someone I didn't want to be. I was often way too snappy and seldom joyful or happy. I felt way too stressed and moody, but desperately wanted to be chill and groovy. I did not want to feel angry or mad. I wanted to feel peaceful and glad. I wanted to laugh and feel carefree. But even that seemed so impossible for me. And no matter how hard I tried to be more, A self-made change just wasn't in store. Not knowing what else to do, I turned my eyes upward to you. I put my pitiful heart in your hands and trusted that you had better plans. You were truly the only one that could get this heart transplant done. With tears in my eyes, I gave you my heart, knowing my worries would soon depart. Peace filled my heart as I looked from the skies. No longer would I be trapped by the devil's lies. Praise God, he heard my heart's cry. In his strength and in his mercy, I can rely. Never alone are we left here to roam. He is with us all the way, every step of every day. When we leave our troubles in the Master's hands, he will give us the strength that we need to stand. When I wrote that song, I knew that this dark funk that I was in would only go away if I truly had that renewal of heart that I needed. I was stressed. I was frustrated. I was grumpy. I was moody. I was troubled. And I'm just going to tell you, I was often downright angry. And the worst part of it all was that I didn't even know why. I had no idea why I felt this way. But I knew I didn't like it. I didn't want to be this person. And I knew I needed a change. I needed something real, something permanent. We've all heard that, fake it till you make it. But that fakeness was not healing my heart. It was only making things worse. And planting a fake smile on for a little while did not solve any of the problems that I was facing. So I wanted to get to the root of the problem. I really wanted to get I didn't want to put a Band-Aid on it, ignore it. I wanted to rip that Band-Aid off and get to the wound and get a healing balm on that wound so it could be healed. Now, during this time, I never doubted my salvation. I knew I was walking with God. I knew I was in a relationship like I should be with him, but I just knew something. There just was something off. And so during this time, I knew that there was a light at the end of the tunnel. I knew that because of God's promises. I just knew that I would not be here forever. And so what I began to do was I just trusted the light that was at the end of this tunnel. And honestly, I began to run for it. I ran for it with all of my might, knowing that in the darkness, getting closer to the light, that the closer you get to the light, what happens? The darkness fades away. And this darkness that I was feeling in my life was pushing me closer and closer and closer to God. And often what happens is when we go through hard times or we go through funks, sometimes we can allow it to pull us away from God. But I chose to run hard to that light. And what was beautiful is that God was right there in that light waiting for me. And you know, he had never abandoned me. He had never forsaken me. He was just wanting me to draw closer to him during this time. So what I want to do is share just a few of the steps that I took while I was in this fog, while I was in this darkness, some of the steps I took to get closer to the light and get closer to him. And the first thing was I clung to God. I desperately clung to him. I read my Bible more. I prayed more. I went through Bible memory verses. I found things that really I thought would apply to my situation. And when I say that the words renewal and right spirit kept playing over and over in my mind, I really think it's because God was triggering in my mind a verse that I hadn't heard in a long time, but that right spirit, renewal, renewal kept coming to me. And I went to Psalms 51:10, where God says, renew a right spirit within me. And that really triggered something for me. Okay, a right spirit. God's telling me that there is a right spirit. And I knew at that point in my life, I did not have a right spirit. So that began to think, well, God, you say I can have a renewal. I can have that right spirit. So what I did is I got closer to him. And as I drew closer to him, he began to put verses in my mind, powerful healing verses, and I would write those verses down and I would cling to those verses. So first step, you cling to God. Get closer to Him than you ever have. Second, you claim the promises of God. God has filled the Bible with thousands of promises that apply to every situation in your life. And so often we don't claim the promises. We don't apply them into our lives. So that was the second step I took, because I began to search the words of God and claim those promises and read them over and over. And that was one of the verses that I clung to. Also, one of the verses that really was a blessing to me was 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. It says, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." And that right there was a promise from God that no matter what I was going through, that darkness I felt, that fog, that loneliness that was crippling me would not destroy me, because God promised to be with me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? And so that right there was such a lifeline for me. But during that time, I'm telling you, you have got to get a hold of God's words, His promises, and claim them. Thank Him for those promises and allow them to heal you. But not only did I have to take a step by drawing closer to God and claiming His promises, I also had to be honest with myself and get to the root of the problem. Normally, I'm a very positive, happy, sincere person. I typically enjoy life. I like to thrive and I like to live to my fullness. I like to live in my abundant Christian life in peace and love and joy. But at that point, I was not. And so I could not continue to just fake it till I make it. I couldn't just push it to the side and pretend like nothing was wrong. No, I had to get down to what was suffocating me, what was robbing my joy, what was the problem. And when I began to see God and ask Him to reveal these things to me, some things were exposed, some things in my life where there was some hurt, there was some unforgiveness, there was some suspicion and bitterness, things that were just literally tearing me apart that I had to go to God for and had to repent and had to get healing in these areas. So honesty is very important. You cannot pretend that nothing is wrong and cover it up when God's bringing it to the surface, because that is how you become more like Christ. When He reveals things to you, you take care of it. You go. You don't ignore it. You don't pretend it's there. You don't fake it till you make it. No, you go and you address the problem and you make it right with God, and you become redeemed and restored and renewed when you get it right. So I had to go and get healing with the things that were truly bothering me that I had been ignoring for so long. But you know, even in those three steps, healing still did not happen immediately. Now, I was in the step to the right direction, but imagine this long tunnel, and it's very foggy and it's very dark. And you see a light at the very end of that tunnel. One step does not get you to the end of the tunnel to the light. It's a continual, you take one step after another and another. And you're stepping a little bit out of darkness and getting closer to the light. And the light becomes brighter and brighter the closer you get to it. But I wasn't there yet. There were still some truths that God was trying to teach me. And another one was just memorizing. I began to memorize the verses. Not only did I claim those verses and apply them into my life and read them over and over, but then I began to memorize them. Because listen, there is something so precious about putting that word of God in your heart. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." So when you're putting the Word of God in your heart, you're putting God's breath and His life into your heart. And there's power in that. And when you put the light of God in your heart, I'm telling you, you're pushing darkness away, because there's no room for God and darkness. There's no room for His light and darkness. So that light just begins to spread bigger and bigger and bigger. So memorizing scripture, not only is that so important, but the Bible says that Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It keeps us pure. It keeps us holy. It keeps us righteous. It keeps us abiding in him. And in John 15:7, it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. And that's not a selfish verse by saying, okay, well, God, I want a car. No, when you put, and not that if you needed a car, that's not what I'm talking about. God, I want a brand new shiny car because it's the latest of the latest. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. You ask for whatever you want and you have it. No, I'm talking about when you are putting the words of God in your heart, God reveals to you what your need is. And then when you know what your need is, God will supply you with your need because he promises to take care of your every need. Not your every want, your every need. So putting those words of God in your heart keeps you aligned to God because you know what to ask for. He's revealing to you what you need. But I think the biggest key there was knowing I needed a right spirit, that God was offering me a renewed and right spirit. And I just wanted to know, what is that right spirit? What is it? Well, in Galatians 5:22-23, he tells us, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness and temperance, which is self-control. So God says, you know, if you have the right spirit, then you're going to have the fruit of the spirit in you, which is the evidence of the right spirit. And that is the result of one thing, obedience. That fruit of the spirit is a result of your obedience by walking with God, humbling yourself to the spirit, walking in the spirit, living in the spirit. Isn't that amazing? And so the first thing I noticed that the fruit of the Spirit was love, right? For the fruit of the Spirit is love. And what does God say is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then to love others as yourselves. Y'all, I was so consumed in my need, so consumed in my darkness that I honestly don't know that I was loving God and loving others. I know I wasn't loving others because I was so consumed with myself, but I wasn't loving God like I truly needed to because I was just wanting out of him this healing. And God was trying to say, you know what? I want you to want me more than you want the healing. And by drawing closer to him, that's what I was doing. I was drawing closer to him, wanting more and more and more of him. And so I'm telling you, God just does some wonderful things when you begin to seek him and search him. Some other verses that really were helpful, Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Look, I knew my spirit was broken. I knew it was. And I was just needing to go to him to heal that brokenness because God's promises are like a spoonful of medicine to a weary heart. His promise of joy and love and peace. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, the inward man is renewed day by day. This verse right here was probably a very key verse to me because it was a reminder that to have a permanent right spirit, you have to be renewed every day. You can't just do it one time the day you get saved. It's a continual going to God every day. And then in Psalms 23:3, he says, he restoreth my soul. So all these promises were there. God was saying, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. But what I realized was, what finally hit me one day, it was like this light bulb just clicked with me. One day I was looking outside the window, tears were in my eyes. God, I was like, I need the healing today, God. I've got to get past this today. I don't know that I can live one more day like this. And God said, all right, be still and know that I am God. What? Be still and know that I am God. And it was in that moment when I just got still for just a moment that I began to hear God say, you know what? You've been doing all the work. You've been doing it, but you haven't trusted me to do it. You've tried to make the change, but it's my job. And it was like the missing puzzle piece. You've done an entire puzzle and there's one missing in the middle and it drives you crazy. It was like God was saying, I'm that missing puzzle piece. You've done the entire puzzle. You've put it all together, but you've left me out of the scenario. So therefore, I am the missing puzzle piece. It's never going to be complete. Yes, I was reading my Bible. Yes, I was drawing closer to God. Yes, I was memorizing scripture. But what God was saying was, you tried to do it all. Now just let me do it. Trust me with it. And in that moment, when I got still with God, I began to realize I hadn't truly trusted Him with the troubles, with the darkness, with the fog. I was stepping closer to Him, and I think each step was allowing me to build my faith a little bit more. But it was when, in that moment, when I said, yes, Lord, I'm putting it in your hands, all of it. I'm not picking this up. I'm not moving away from this window until I feel your peace. And y'all, may I say, when you cast all your cares upon Him, He will perfect that which concerneth you, and He will, because those are His promises. Beautiful promises. Peace began to flood my soul right then and there, and joy quickly took the place of where frustration and trouble and stress and anger and resentment were. I mean, it was like immediately God washed it away, and I felt this peace that I could not understand. But that's because that's another promise of God. When you obey God, peace is a result of His promises. When you pursue God, you find His peace. But there was still one more thing, one more step that God made clear that I needed to do. And I had to put my pride aside to do this one. And this was not easy, but I had to go and tell the people that I was closest to that I was sorry. I had to go to my husband and ask for forgiveness for the mood, for the funk, for the anger, for the frustration. I had to go to my son and apologize to him for being snappy and rude and just a very frustrated mom. And when we swallow our pride and we make things right with people around us, God bless us out. And I'm just here to say that God truly healed me that day from those steps of obedience. Now, why do we go through troubles? Why do we go through funks? Why do we go through darkness? I don't know. I honestly still to this day don't know really why I went through that. But 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 tells us this. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be comforted, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherein we are. Ourselves are comforted by God. Sisters, if you never went through a dark day, if you never experienced the comfort of God, then you would never be able to comfort those around you. And that's what God wants. God wants you to be able to help those around you, to pull them out of their darkness, to encourage them and be there for them. So ladies, I hope today was a blessing. And I hope that if you are going through any hard time at all in your life, that you will just look up to God, trust Him, and cast your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Blessings, and talk to you next time on the Mommy Meltdown.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Welcome to this month's segment of the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. I'm author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart. Oh, but it was God putting me back together, as well as my newest release, Mind Your Business Lady, the Women Entrepreneur's Complete Guide to Doing What You Love and Getting Paid to Do It. Welcome, welcome. Hello, February. We are in our first week of February, and I don't know about you guys, but I am feeling refreshed. I'm feeling renewed. I am feeling rejuvenated. All right. 2020 and the beginning of 2021 has definitely been one hell of a year. Yes, I said it, one hell of a year. Okay. We have went through so much, but guess what? We survived. We are here. So again, welcome to the What Now God radio show. I thank you so much for tuning in. It is the first Friday of the month, which is when you can catch new segments of the What Now God radio show. Look out for new topics. Look out for new guests as we tackle the question, what now, God? What do we do now in such a time as this? What do we do now as Christian brothers and sisters to help, to uplift, to support, to encourage, to inspire and motivate each other so that we can help to make this world a better place, okay? One prayer, one person at a time. So again, thank you so much. Today we're going to discuss the topic, how do you heal? How do you heal? All right. We have been through, like I said, one hell of a 2020. At the beginning of the year, we dealt with the pandemic. We're still dealing with COVID-19. We're still suffering. It's still, you know, devastating our country, devastating the world. We dealt with Black lives being taken by hired police officers who were hired to serve and protect. We have been brutalized. We have had to watch over and over deaths, starting with George Floyd, which actually wasn't the start because we know it's been going on for a long time, but something that we all had to witness on television or on social media for those of you who actually saw it. And it has been devastating. 2020 has been a year of loss. 2020 has been a year of sorrow. 2020 has been a year that a lot of us may want to just forget, that has hurt us, that has left us feeling broken, that has left us feeling like, you know, there's no end in sight to it, have left us probably asking, why, God, why? So today we're going to discuss the topic, how do we heal? All right. And maybe you have went through something else in 2020. Maybe it wasn't just COVID and all the losses and the deaths and the sicknesses that we've experienced, not just as a country, but as families, right? Maybe you've went through other things besides having to, you know, be on lookout or being aware of everything that was going on with Black Lives Matter, having to stand up as African American men and women to say enough is enough, right? Maybe there's personal issues that you've dealt with, relationship issues, health issues that, you know, added on to the pain, added on to the sorrow. So we're going to discuss, how do we heal from these things? How do we move from the pain, get back to our purpose, and start prospering, okay, even in a pandemic, and start having our prayers answered, right? How do we heal? How do we feel better? How do we get better in the midst of everything that has happened in 2020, in the midst of a horrible aftermath of our 2020 election where, you know, we had domestic terrorism, where we watched domestic terrorists actually storm our Capitol, right? And I'm not going to get all into politics, but if you're like me, that was very emotional. That was very heartbreaking to me and devastating to see that in our country that we're still dealing with such division, such hate, such racism, right? And such panic during the pandemic and such confusion during the rollout of the vaccine, during the rollout of testing and treatment, and just basically trying to stay safe and alive. And before we go into, I'm going to share three tips that will help you heal, that will help you heal no matter what you're going through. But before we get into that, I just want to say God bless every single one who's listening, who has been sick with COVID, with coronavirus, who has loved ones who are sick or hospitalized, or maybe you were hospitalized, and especially for those who have lost loved ones due to the to the coronavirus or just any loss in general, because I know it's hard, okay? I know it's hard. We're all in this together, and we're all going to heal, and we're all going to get better together, God willing. And I pray to God that you know that we're coming out of this. We are coming out of this. God says to pray, to turn from our wicked ways, to repent, and he will hear from us in heaven and heal our land. So I invite you and I implore you to keep on praying, okay? Even if you don't see immediate results, even if it looks like it's just so dark and there's no light at the end of the tunnel, know that it is darkest before dawn and that the light is still here. The light that is our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is still here. Jesus saves and God is still in control. So let's just keep going. We're gonna, again, the topic for today is how do we heal? And the key word here is we, all right? Because we're all in this together. The sun shines on good and bad alike. The rain pours on good and bad alike as well, right? So we need to be mindful that we are in this together. And whether we agree, whether we disagree, or we agree to disagree about anything, whether it's who you voted for in the 2020 election, whether it's how to best handle the pandemic, whether it's what should we be on a shutdown or not, whatever that is, I want you to know that we are all in this together. And if we heal, we'll heal together. But if we suffer, we're going to suffer together, right? So let's stop all the dividing, the division, the finger pointing, the blame game, and let's just do these three things. And if we do them and we are an example to our loved ones, an example to our families, our friends, even the world, then I truly, truly believe that we can heal and we can change our situation for the better. So number one, the first thing that we must do if we want to heal, if we want to experience any type of healing, whether it's in this pandemic, whatever, we have to love, okay? We have to remember that the word says above all things, love. Love God, love your neighbors as you love yourself, okay? And then remember what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not self-seeking. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Love covers all, right? Love never fails. And let's be real, sometimes it's hard to love. Sometimes it is hard to love. When you're down and out, when you feel like somebody has done you wrong for no reason, when you feel like life is just unfair, right? Sometimes it's hard to love. Sometimes it's hard to show that loving kindness to others, right? Sometimes it's hard even to show that loving kindness to ourselves. And that is something that we have to be reminded of constantly, right? God is love. And if we show the love that God continues to give us every single day he wakes you up with breath in your body. Every single day he wakes you up and clothes you and feeds you. Every single day he gives you a purpose. Every single day he says, keep going, daughter. Keep going, son. You are my child. I will never leave you or forsake you. Every time he answers your prayer, that is God showing love, that unconditional love, that love like no other. And if we can just be an example, if we can just take a little piece of that love that we receive from God and pass it on to others, then guess what? I promise you, the healing will begin. And then we cannot forget to love ourselves. Some of us, we're so hard on ourselves and we forget how to love ourselves. We forget about that self-love, right? We were talking about in my Facebook group, Sistars Women's Empowerment Network, which I am CEO and founder of, where I teach women entrepreneurs how to use their God-given gifts and talents to create wealth while serving others. We were talking about the love languages. And one of our members, she teaches on the five self-love languages. Okay, so how do you like to be loved? How do you like to show love to yourself? Do you need that quality time with yourself? Do you need to take some time out to take that bubble bath? Do you need to listen to your favorite music? Do you need to get out into nature and walk? What is it that you need to do to show yourself that loving kindness so that you'll be able to pass that on to others? Because sometimes it's so hard for us to give love to others because we've forgotten to give that same love to ourselves. All right. And if you're a giver, if you're a helper, if you're constantly looking out for others, sometimes it gets hard, right? Sometimes you can get bitter. But the antidote and the answer to that, to not getting bitter, to not get growing weary while doing good, is to take the time out to love yourself, okay? Take the time out. Maybe you need to go to your favorite ice cream shop and grab a scoop of ice cream, right? Maybe you need to watch a comedy movie to make you smile. All of these are parts of healing. And then when we learn to love ourselves, I promise you it is so easy to love others, because now that you've given that self-love to yourself, and you know what you need to make you feel better, you can send that text message to someone else to say, hey, I'm just checking on you. How are you? You can pick up that phone and make that phone call to that person who may be shut in, who may be alone, quarantined during the pandemic, to say, just checking on you. You can pick up your computer and log on to Uber Eats and send someone a meal who may be suffering through coronavirus, right? You can send someone groceries through Instacart. There are so many things that we can do to show love to others. Sometimes it's just a word of encouragement to say, hey, you're going to make it. You can do it. God has not forgotten you. And sometimes it's just simple as remembering others in your prayers, right? There's so many ways that we can show love. So that's number one on how do we heal? How do we start to heal as a country, as a nation, as the world, as families, as individuals? How do we heal? You have to be willing to show love. And sometimes, I get it, you're tapped out, you're frustrated, you're sad, you may be heartbroken, devastated even, okay? I get it. I have been there. Trust and believe, I have been there. There's been days when I said, God, why? Not just why me, but I'm done. You know, I've said it. I've written off people just to turn right around and pray for them. And then when I pray for them, God worked it out. Not only did God work it out, but he showed me where I went wrong and how to pray and love on people. You have to love people in spite of them, okay? You have to love people in spite of them. Sometimes we have high expectations of how people should be. And it's not to say that, people won't get on your nerves or people won't do something that you don't agree with that, like I said, makes it hard to love. But guess what? Love anyway. Love anyway. Love in spite of and love anyway. That is the first and number one step and answer to the question, how do we heal? All right. So let's move on to number two. And I hope that number one uplifted you, and I just want you to know that I love you, that God loves you, all right? God loves us in spite of us, so let's take a moment to find ways that we can show that love to others, okay? Even the unlovable, even the seemingly unlovable. So number two, it goes hand in hand with number one, and this one, It's harder, right? And these steps that I'm sharing with you, they're not easy. Sometimes they take practice, and we know practice makes perfect. So some of these you'll have to practice. You might fail. You practice, you may do better. You practice, you may think you got it, and then you fall again, and you have to remind yourself, right? But we're not going to give up. Healing is a process. So each one of these steps within the healing process, as we answer the question, how do we heal, is a process. So don't be hard on yourselves if you can't get it right away, okay? We're all growing and we're all in different steps of our growth process, okay? So number two is to forgive. Forgive. And I can speak on this all day because it's something that I have struggled with. I used to think forgiving meant I had to admit or I had to that I was admitting that what that other person did was okay. Knowing they were wrong, wrong is two left shoes, right? But I used to really think that if I forgive somebody, then that's letting them off the hook. Or if I forgive somebody, that means that what they did to me was okay. No, no, no. That is not the case. Forgiving is actually for you, okay? Forgiving is releasing the hurt that the action caused you. Forgiving is releasing the need for revenge, all right? Because God says, vengeance is mine. It is mine to repay. When is the last time God told you a lie? I'll wait, right? Because God does not lie. He cannot lie. So if God says, vengeance is mine, it is mine to repay, then best believe anyone who has wronged you, all right, whether it was yesterday, whether it was today, whether it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, okay? God is in control. God is going to repay them. It's not up to us to worry. It's not up to us to seek revenge. It's not up to us to harbor grudges. It's not up to us to harbor that pain. Because when you don't forgive, that's what you're doing. You're holding on to pain. You're voluntarily holding on to pain that is hurting you. Sometimes the people that we need to forgive, the people who have wronged us, don't even know that they need to be forgiven. They don't even know that you're holding a grudge. They don't even know. And sometimes they don't even care if they do know, right? So they're not in pain. They're not suffering. Yet here you are. You're suffering. You're reliving that moment. You're reliving that issue. You're reliving what happened in the past or what they did to you. You're reliving it over and over. Every time you think about them, every time something reminds you of them, you're hurting over and over again. You can't let it go. And what happens when you're holding on to something so tight? When you're holding on to that pain so tight and your hands are clenched, your teeth are clenched, and you're holding stress. Stress is all in your body. Your hands are so tightly closed and holding on to that unforgiveness that you can't open your hands to receive the blessings that God is trying to give you. The blessing of forgiveness that is truly for you and not for the other person. So if you look at it like that, I really had to, you know, look at it in a different perspective to be able to forgive others, to be able to smile and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I'm not holding on to that pain. Thank you, God, that I'm not holding on to that offense, that hurt, as wrong as it was, as painful as it was, as hurtful as it was. Thank you, God, that I'm able to release it, that I'm able to say I forgive. And sometimes it doesn't mean, this is another thing that stops a lot of people from being able to forgive, is because we think we're supposed to forgive someone a hurt, forgive someone an offense, and then reconcile with them immediately. Sometimes the only reconciliation that's needed is saying, God, I forgive. I let that offense go. I let that unforgiveness go. Sometimes the only reconciliation that is needed is with your thoughts in your mind about how you're thinking about that person in that situation. Forgive and let go. Let go and let God. Now, some relationships, they're worth salvaging. Some relationships, God is working even now to restore. And then let's flip it. While we're talking about forgiveness and forgiving others, we may be the ones who need to be forgiven, right? We're no saints. Nobody is perfect. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, right? So we have to remember that sometimes that forgiveness, we're the ones who need it. God, forgive me for anything I've said or done that is not pleasing to you, for any way that I've hurt anybody. Forgive me, right? I say that in a prayer every single day because sometimes we offend others, we hurt others, and we may not be aware. Sometimes we may do it on purpose because we're hurting, right? Hurt people hurt people. So we have to learn to forgive. Forgive others and forgive ourselves. And when we do that, we're way on the road of healing, okay? So that's number two in how do we heal. Number one was to love. Number two is to forgive. And number three is we have to learn to act and not react. We have to learn to act and not react. That means we're going to be proactive in our actions, and our actions are going to be positive. Our actions are going to be results driven. Our actions are going to be wrapped in love, wrapped in forgiveness. We're not going to allow ourselves to react to every single word that's said to us that may hurt us or offend us. We're not going to allow ourselves to react to every trick of the enemy. The devil is working. Him and his minions are out here. They're trying to get your attention, get my attention. They're trying to divide. The devil comes for what? To steal, kill, and destroy, right? He's trying to steal your blessings. He's trying to kill your dreams. He's trying to destroy your destiny. And how does he do that? He does things. He sends situations, people, that causes us to react. So instead of acting as God-fearing, loving women and men of God, children of God, we just react. Someone throws something at us, we immediately react and throw it back. Someone steps on our toes, we step on their toes, but a little bit harder, right? We cannot afford to constantly react to everything that's going on around us, everything that's going on in this world, everything that you see on the media, you know, everything that you hear. We cannot afford to keep reacting. We have to learn to be proactive and to take positive action so that we can see change, whatever that positive action may be, right? Being leaders instead of followers, loving on each other instead of hating each other, forgiving even the unforgivable, right? And once we do all of those three things, once we learn to love, once we learn to forgive, once we learn to not react to every negative thing that comes our way, I promise you that healing will take place. And it's a beautiful thing. And oh my God, I can't believe our time is up right now, but I just want to say God bless you all. Thank you so much for continuing to tune in to the What Now God radio show. We're on first Fridays of every month. My name is Cheryl Woods. I am your host. And I just appreciate you and love you so much. God bless you, and I'll see you next time.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. 850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.